move from behind the net. A giveaway on net. And the rebound. Score! Eli Tolvanen puts it home as the early mistake burns the Avalanche. And the Kraken crack the ice here at Ball Arena with the first goal of the series.
To the point that Leah made in the first period, a little soft sometimes on the outlet passes as moving in. Shot! Score!
A transition goal gives the Kraken the lead.
Out in front. Shot! Score!
It's a two-goal lead here in the third period for the Kraken. Geeky with the setup, snaps it home, and Seattle extends their lead.
The Seattle Kraken take down the Colorado Avalanche last night. 3-1, that's their first ever playoff victory. It was all first, man, everything. Their first goal ever in the playoffs came against the Colorado Avalanche. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, are the Avs still going to win this series? Now, Angel, in hockey, and you know, compared to basketball, when you lose at home in basketball, like if the Nuggets lose tonight, tie the series 1-1, I'm freaking out a little bit. In hockey, I don't necessarily look at the order of it. I mean, home ice advantage is good. I just don't feel like it's as personal as it is in basketball. It's not as meaningful as it is in basketball. So I'm not crazy worried about this. I'm not going to sit here and just go, oh, they'll be fine. I'm not doing that. Now, I said Avs in five. I thought, you know, the Kraken, they've never been here before. They were terrible last year. They don't really have any superstars. They kind of got the Avs left over as far as goalies go. Philip Grubauer. That's kind of what I thought. But Seattle played, you know what? They kind of reminded me of, if we're doing a basketball comparison again, kind of reminded me of the Kings. Just a spark plug of a team. You know, I thought they just flat out were outplaying the Avs, even in that first period. And the Avs did get a goal. But in the third, I mean, it felt like the Avs were getting, like the time, the puck possession and everything, I mean, was kind of on the Avs' side. They just couldn't get anything in between the pipes. And Philip Grubauer was pretty good, man. He just gave up the one goal, had 35 shots against him, as opposed to Georgiev had 30 shots against him. So, I mean, it Philip Grubauer, man. I mean, you knew he might come in a little pumped up, kind of a redemption story there for him. Going up against the Avs, and now there's talk of, you know, do you mess with the line a little bit with Mikko Rantanen moving second, coming off, you know, with MacKinnon out there first, you're kind of staggering things here. They've done that, obviously. That's how they used to do things. But is that a possibility? Listen, the sky's not falling. Play tomorrow night. Still think this is an Avs series win? That's the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Is this series still something that the Avs can win? Will the Avalanche still win this series against the Kraken? I mean, it wasn't like they just looked disinterested or bad. Again, if you're, you look at in hockey, and you know me, I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world. I can just look at the basics and tell you my thoughts from there. How many shots on goal compared to the other? What's your time of possession look like? You know, that's a critical stat, I think. So, is this something where I'm freaking out today? Now, I could expect the Avs to win tomorrow night. Sure. Go down 2-0, and then, yeah, you're starting to have that conversation. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I mean, if you're now the Avs will go down in history, though. That's part of our good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, it's not that the Avs are a part of this, but it's, you know what? The Seattle Kraken, I was kind of a fan of the name and everything. It was a bunch of firsts for them. They get their first goal. They get their first playoff win. The good is, I guess, kind of that, but that also transitions into the bad, the Avs being the team that gave that up and ultimately lost Game 1 It's hockey, though. It's just a different feel when you lose game one. It's not as scary if you're the home team in the NBA and you lose game one. The ugly? The Rockies are in it again, Angel. And I mean, it's bad when I see no spark from Tanner, no spark from Angel. This is when you know it's bad. You guys are the Rockies bus guys. That was your thing. And now you got to park it before you even got out of the neighborhood, man. You barely got on the highway. And the Rocks lost another one. Lost another series. They play today. We're going to hand it over to Jerry and Jack today. Not sure if that'll be part of the schedule every time they play during the whole show. We have no problem stepping aside for winning baseball. But we're stepping aside for losing baseball. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Angel, will they win today? You got Gombe going to the mound.
I don't know.
The spirit is gone, Angel. I feel
I can't put any effort into thinking.
I want your
that this team will put together enough runs to win a game.
I didn't think the Rockies were going to be good this year. But I don't want to be right if it's going to... You and Tanner walking around here like the Walking Dead. You know, I feel like Rick Grimes. I gotta rally the troops here. You know?
There's
you,
nothing to rally.
There's nothing to rally,
troops
I guess.
We went home.
You parked the bus. It's left it there, I guess. Somebody else's problem.
It's there.
Did you ever see Into the Wild, that movie? It's based on a true story. The guy wants to go live in the wild, and he finds a bus in the middle of the forest. He just lives in there, eats some bad berries, and bad stuff happened, and he was gonzo. But that's what it reminds me of. Your Rockies bus is just out in the middle of the Sherwood Forest, and now it's growing leaves on or growing weeds on it and moss, and there's little squirrels living in there. And there's, you know, wrappers still from old tacos from years in the years past. It's kind of sad, man. I like it when you guys are passionate about something.
Think of it like a phoenix. In order, you know, the beauty of a phoenix
is when it
rises from the ashes and you get that redemption story. You get to see the rise of that phoenix.
Is that what this is going to be?
We are in the burning process.
Oh, okay.
We have been engulfed in despair.
But there's still, you're telling me there's still hope that you're going to rise out of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a 50-50 shot. The phoenix is going to come back. 50 shot, he doesn't come back. He's just a pile of ashes now. Send him to Salt Lake City.
You and Tanner kind of remind me of a pile of ashes right now when it comes
to the
Rockies.
That's what it feels
like. What was the attendance like yesterday? I mean, it was bad yesterday.
19,000, I think, was the number.
Yeah, that's bad, right? For
worse than their average in their worst season back in 2012.
Do the Avs have anything to do with that? People are at home watching the Avs game, not going out to watch the Rockies? Is that...
I mean, I guess
can we give them that excuse?
No one's really paying attention to them because Nuggets and Avs. So, you know, once that goes up, I guess once those are done, I guess we'll see where it's really at in, you know, late June.
Well, see, normally, this is what I've been saying. Normally, April, they do just good enough to kind of go, huh, man, I got a guy there and a guy there that's in show. They got a pitcher there. I'm curious to see how this team does. Even though I'm kind of locked in with the Nuggets and the Avs, they've won a few games here.
You know, what happens when, you know, kids are out of school, college students are back home, whatever, and, you know, it's in the midst of summer, then it's, oh, it's a good day to go to the ballpark.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why?
I'm telling you, man, something might... I don't know if something will change, though. I really don't. I don't know if Dick Monfort...
Something will change, but it won't be the necessary change.
Everybody just... Like Mike Brohard yesterday, great guy, and Tanner and I have talked about this, too. You know, people like to throw the word out, like, or the phrase out, Dick Monfort doesn't care. Call me naive. Call me a lot of things, just as long as you call me. I still have a hard time just believing somebody could buy a team and not care about winning. Do you think that Dick Monfort wakes up in the morning, you know, he puts his nice slippers on and he goes and grabs a cup of Joe, flips open the paper and goes, how can I make this team worse today? I just don't think that's happening. I just don't know that he has surrounded himself with enough baseball guys or, like, current guys that are caught up in the times as far as baseball goes around him. And I mean, that's just kind of been an issue for Dick Monfort. And then the other thing is, dude, you got to eventually tear it down to the studs. Like, did the Nuggets ever tear it down to the studs? When they fired George Karl, I think that they didn't tear it down to the studs. They thought that Brian Shaw could get them into the playoffs, but they didn't spend money on superstars. So it wasn't, the Nuggets didn't say we're in rebuild. They didn't admit that. Nobody likes to admit that, but we see it in your actions. The Nuggets never went out and said, okay, Brian Shaw, you were terrible year one. Next year, we know whatever. We know we're probably going to be bad, but let's go spend money on a Chris Bryant type guy now. They didn't do that. That would have given false hope as, oh, the Nuggets. Go back and look at their roster before they hired Malone. Brian Shaw, just go look at his second year. It's Gallo. It's Wilson Chandler. And I'm not saying those guys weren't paid nice, but those guys weren't equivalent to Chris Bryant. So if the Nuggets would have went out and said, we're going to sign, I don't know, at the time, Derrick Rose. Or, nah, that would have been big. That would have been game-changing. You know, like a star that's if they would have went and signed Paul Millsap at that stage, didn't make any sense. And you go, whoa, Paul Millsap's legitimately pretty good power forward. What does this mean? Are the Nuggets thinking that they can make a little push here? But the Nuggets didn't do that. They stuck with the Wilson Chandlers, the Danilo Gallinaris, and all of that.
I see that point, and just looking at their history, the Nuggets have had two, extended streaks of playoff appearances. From like 2003 to 2013, they were in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
And then from 13 to 17, they weren't in it.
True.
And then they get Malone and they start getting back in it.
Yeah.
So I think it wasn't a rebuild because you weren't rebuilding towards getting back to the playoffs. It was, we've been to the playoffs a bunch. Now we're just not there anymore. With the Rockies, it's they've never had that such consistent success.
Right.
And the Nuggets have been an established playoff team up to that point.
Yeah, but this is why they're an established playoff team, Angel, is because they have ownership that acknowledge, okay, playoffs are good for now. That's good. We've drafted Carmelo Anthony. That's good. Playoffs are good for now. We're going to keep him happy for a while and go. And then when the Carmelo and George Karl thing ran its course, it was like, all right, we got Brian Shaw as a head coach. Our superstar is Danilo Gallinari, and I love Danilo, but he ain't a superstar. That's our main player. Okay. No major contracts going out to any free. We're going to quietly tear this thing down. And they did that for 2 years under Shaw, then hired Malone, and then they started building back up. The Broncos. Say what you will. Okay, John Elway, all that stuff for the last 6 years, that's been rough. But they had never had back-to-back losing seasons before until this last six-year stint. It's because Pat Bowlen didn't accept it. He didn't accept it. He fired his best friend, Mike Shanahan, because he was tired of 8-8. Now, that didn't work out with Josh McDaniels, but it did kind of work out with John Fox, the next coach. You got guys that make moves. And Dick Monfort, for better or worse, sometimes he's too loyal to his general managers. Sometimes he's too loyal to players that you probably shouldn't be too loyal to. And then you kind of backed your GM with the whole Breidich Nolan thing. And I know that sucked. And Nolan kind of wanted out anyway. But he did not like Jeff Breidich. And Dick Monfort knew that. And I'm not saying Nolan saves this team. You don't have Chris Bryant on the team if you kept Nolan. So you just have one superstar and a bunch of mediocre guys. But what the Rockies need to do today, look at what the Colorado Avalanche did, look at what the Nuggets did, look at the Broncos' history. You finally have to call it what it is and say, yeah, this ain't it. But instead, Chris Bryant becomes available. Let's go sign him because we need a name. You can survive 2 years without a name. 2 years without a name. And I want everybody on your team, They should have traded CJ Krohn last year when he had value. I want everybody on your team to be a young, up-and-coming guy. That's that, at least, that you believe. And now, again, the history of their farm system isn't fantastic, but they have brought up some good players that have gone on to make other teams a lot of money and make other teams very happy. But they have brought them up. Nolan was theirs. You know, Trevor Story, those guys were theirs. Like, I don't know how John Gray's doing these days, but I'm guessing he's still a starting pitcher. You got to tear this thing down to the studs. And by what you did you ever see the movie Vegas Vacation with,
like Chevy Chase?
Yeah. It's a great movie. They're going to see the Hoover Dam. They're touring it. And Chevy Chase is while Clark Griswold's walking along, and they're inside the tunnel, and he sees a tiny little speckle of water pouring out. And so he's like, oh, that doesn't look good. So he tries to cover it, and then the water comes out, and he's like, oh, crap. So he chews some bubble gum, puts the gum over it, and then that covered it up. That's what Chris Bryan is. He's a piece of chewed up bubble gum covering up the dam before it breaks. No respect, no disrespect to Chris Bryan, but that's where we are. That was the Rockies. Okay, we've been through the ringer, man. We lost Nolan, and then we lost Trevor, and we keep losing guys. You know, even Adam Ottavino, as far as a closer goes, we're losing guys. Let's sign Chris Bryant.
Yeah, but, you know, his back's not great.
Yeah, but they don't know that. It's a big name. Ticket sales will go up. All right, let's give it a shot. Let's get him. Back was an issue last year. He's back, but he's surrounded by a bunch of mediocre players. You just tear the thing down to the studs, call it what it is, let your fans know that this next 2 years is going to be about the rebirth of the Colorado Rockies. But you can't. They can't do it because they're about money. And they're like, if we get a Chris Bryant, even though that's not going to solve it, it's a Band-Aid. It's a piece of bubble gum we can put over the dam, and at least it looks good. 22 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This Preps baseball season, you pick the game. Hear high school baseball every week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Wednesday at Cable's Pub. Well, it's Wednesday for reals. I mean, it's not just Wednesday at Cable's Pub and Grill, okay? It's just Wednesday for reals. $3 pints and under $8 for personal pizzas, up to 3 toppings. Dude, I love their pizza. I'm a big pizza fan, Anjo. I think that's my favorite food. And so I'm not necessarily picky about pizza, but I can tell you if the place isn't... I don't want to go there if the pizza's not at least, you know, somewhat good. And I'm telling you, man, I love the personal pizzas there at Cable's Pub and Grill. And when I tell you, that's where my friends meet, dude. Serious. Everybody I know is over there. They're always hanging out. It's a great time. Hooligans are over there all the time. It's fantastic. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. 27 minutes after the hour. We got Nuggets and T-Wolves back at it tonight. Okay, Joker's listed as questionable. That's no reason to be concerned, right? The questionable is not going to keep stars out. If Jeff Green was questionable, maybe. But I guess this just kind of goes back to, okay, the wrist thing. You saw the gigantic ice pack he had on his wrist at the end of the game. That's where I have that question. And I guess if we have to be nitpicky here, because it was a 30-point win, again, I go back to, why was he playing in garbage time when, for many reasons, but when he also has like a history of this wrist injury that's been there with him since the beginning of the season? Now, Malone came out and talked about it yesterday, and he said, no lead is safe. Would you think that up 30?
We as Nuggets fans need to be told that.
Yeah, but up 36 minutes left?
I've seen this team up 20 with 2 minutes left, and they've lost games.
So maybe just don't put him out there until you drop down to 20.
You put him out there to show the other team that we're not showing you any mercy.
This isn't like, Cobra Kai, Angel.
Life is Cobra
Kai. It's not Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai is a way of life.
Not everything is related to Cobra Kai.
That. You showed the other team, even if, you know, you talk about you don't want to have Minnesota have any momentum whatsoever. If they close out that game, yeah, it's 30 points, and they close it to 15 to 2 minutes, then it's, hey, we found some things that work. We're going to try to work on that and attack that next game.
What if he messed his wrist up?
What if he messes his up in the first 2 minutes?
Well, at least that's what we call not garbage time. If you get hurt in garbage time, I'm not happy with you, like, as a coach. If you get hurt in real time, if you get your foot, you know, if someone's foot stomps your rib cage in real time and you get hurt and you got to get x-rays and you're out, okay, that's part of the game. But if you do it in garbage time, remember how mad we were at the Steelers? Who was their receiver? Come on, not Keenan Allen, the other guy. Not Steelers. Did I say Steelers?
Yes.
Why did I say Steelers? Chargers. You remember? Who was their other stud receiver? I can't think of his name right now.
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams. Remember that? He hurt his back in a meaningless game against the Broncos. You were mad at him, but if he would have got hurt the week prior, it'd be like, that's part of football.
So would you rather have Jokic play in garbage time for 4 games and they're all wins, or only play serious for 7 games?
Well, I'd rather him play in garbage time and they're all wins. But right. I'd rather him not
if
play
you,
in
if
garbage time.
If you sweep
time.
Them, then there's a chance you have extended rest time.
I don't want him to play in garbage time, though. But listen.
He's had this wrist thing all year.
I know, but that's why it's like any minute you can give him a break, you give him a break, right? No?
Yeah, but I mean, like, he was in for, what, a minute?
You're Malone. Would you? Well, because he fouled out. He probably was like, why'd you put me in
maybe
here?
Maybe just said, go foul out real quick.
Why?
You got to fill up the stat sheet.
Okay. He hadn't fouled out in, 2 years. Would you have put him in?
Probably not, but I understand it. If I've seen my team blow leads before, I've seen my bench struggle, or I've seen my team get complacent. Yeah, you're up 30 in a playoff game. It's a playoff game. It still means something. Garbage time or not, those are still important minutes.
I don't absolutely hate it, but if he would have gotten hurt in that 2 minutes that he was in, then we'd be really all over Michael Malone, man.
Yeah, that's sports.
It's not necessarily. You when you look at what the Chargers did, and Staley put him in, put his guy in, and he's hurt. Everyone was pissed. They're like, "What is this idiot doing? He played this guy in garbage time. Didn't need to. Why?"
I mean, it happens. Coaches, players are all different, but it happens.
Dixon says, just chill and forget about Joker's injuries, kind of like you guys forgot about Triple T yesterday. We didn't forget about it. We message the winners now. That's how we do it, because there's so much controversy when we announce who the winner is. So we message it. We didn't forget about it. Dixon, if you didn't get the message, it was not you that won. LOL, in all seriousness, if I'm Minnesota, I am hammering that wrist a few times tonight. Probably are.
All right, get a couple flagrants.
You probably
technicals.
They probably will.
Play mind games.
Rudy Gobert will get 2 hard fouls quickly.
Can we swap out Gombert for Gobert?
Yes. Who would you rather have, Gombert or Gobert?
To do what?
Just to just have
cut
him
the
here.
Grass.
Just have him here. Because I don't think Rudy Gobert is as good as he's being paid, man. I mean, shot blocker.
He's French, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and he caused COVID, didn't he?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. He's going to come in here touching all of our mics and stuff, and their new strand of COVID's back.
Oh, how did that guy
ever... The Gobert variant or something.
It was the Gobert variant. Gobert or Gomber? Who would you rather have? Just here.
I'd rather just have a baguette.
I like calling him Gombert. He was a part of the Nolan trade, wasn't he?
Speaking of Nolan, Nolan Jones hit a grand slam yesterday in AAA play.
Nice.
Mr. Come up for 3 days and sit on the bench, Rockies. Just go back to AAA and show us what you got.
I like this Angel here. You got a little fight in you. It's like in the Joker movie. You got a little fight in you. You know, normally you're like...
Are you comparing me to Rachel from the Dark Knight movies?
Yeah, kind of. Only you don't die.
Am I the original Rachel or the recast Rachel?
You got to be the original, right? Nobody wants to be the recast Rachel. I don't think. Katie Holmes is better than...
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal's sister.
She died in the movie, so the first one didn't die. So
that's true. She hung in there. Had to do it. No, I like this Angel. You know, you're getting a little irritated. Sometimes sports pisses you off, and that's okay. Sometimes
I've never
it
denied
does.
That. I just try to.
You try to see the good all the time. You try to see the good all the time, and sometimes you just
gotta face
it.
I try to see
it.
The good when I'm on air. Like, you ask me about sports off air, I'll go whichever way.
I think you're still kind of a Rockies guy, or you were. I think now you're starting to get really upset.
I still support this team, but right now and for the rest of the season, I just.
Okay.
You got to show me that you're going to actually do something. Otherwise, like, all right, you're just a team to me.
Remember your exercise you told everybody to take to practice
last
week.
The negative thing is that the Rockies have
they've lost like 80 in a row.
No intention of getting better.
Nope.
No adjustment. No adjustments have been made. Not even a bad like a lineup change.
Did they move McMahon around yesterday or something? I don't care. It does something weird.
Right.
What's your
positive is?
Come on.
Chris Bryant has hit 2 home runs at Coors Field. That's 2 more than he hit all of last year.
Bam.
Dinger is back and justified.
Did they get that guy?
Yeah, they did. He turned himself in.
What are they doing with him? Lock him up and throw away the key.
I think it was like assault and then like, disturbing the peace was the other charge.
Was he hammered, you think? Or
he had a Modelo in his hand in one picture.
Yeah, well.
So
yeah.
Hammered enough to tackle the mascot and get out of the stadium and be on the lam for
a couple
of days.
He had to have some kind of hammered powers, you know? It's just like he ends up somewhere else. He spears Dinger, and somehow...
I can't imagine Dinger is well-balanced.
No.
So, I mean, you just push him, and he might just fall over.
Well, one of the angles I saw on that, it looked like Dinger fell over almost over the dugout, and I was like, dang, that looks... But then the other angle, he's tackled, then Dinger just gets up and keeps dancing. It's just like, is he a computer simulation?
It's for the kids. You gotta keep up the mirage for the kids.
35 minutes after the hour. Lemons Heating and Cooling will get the air conditioner rocking and rolling for you. I was working in the yard for the last 3 days, and the last thing you want is when you're sweating your butt off, your back's killing you, you're tired, is to go inside when it's not really cool. But when you walk inside and it feels like you know when you go to a hotel, like a really nice hotel, it's just the air conditioning is pristine, it's perfect. That's what a great air conditioner can make you feel like. If you don't have that, you're missing out. Lemons Heating and Cooling here in Greeley will hook you up. They got free estimates available. Check them out online, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. 36 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah. 39 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, you act like that's a surprise. Angel sees this, every so often.
I just like the blank stare that he gives back there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to entertain yourself sometimes. Angel, you know, he'll give me emotion when he's ready. I don't push him. That's when you know you're really landing.
Is it too early for the Tua hate? Is that what's going on?
I mean, I guess Tua hate's always
Tanner Swinson's
always too. A thing for some people.
Dude,
okay. Passionate about it.
Okay, let me
Tanner's
ask you.
Mean about it. I'm at least kind of polite about it.
I was just sharing some news that may have been interesting.
Share the news.
Tua had a press conference today, and he was just talking about some of the jiu-jitsu training he's been doing to help himself, you know, learn how to fall correctly.
Tanner doesn't help. I try not to laugh. But
no, and he also talked about, you know, possible retirement at his age. Mm. You know, he talked to a lot of doctors about concussions and CTE.
That's interesting.
He's not at more of a risk for it. He said CTE comes more often from repeated constant hits to the head. So linebackers, running backs, linemen are more susceptible to it.
Yeah, offensive
quarterbacks.
Linemen.
See, that's,
he said you're not getting hit until
it's not happening on a regular.
You're not
basis.
Getting hit in practice. You don't get really hit until week one.
Right.
So, I mean, I just thought some of that was cool.
That's the interesting part of that press conference.
Well, I'll tell you, Tanner, you know, I told you the Dolphins to me were irrelevant. You hated them. I just said they're irrelevant. This year, they could be good. They've made some moves.
Yeah.
You know, I think McDaniel's given up the vape, which is exciting. I think he's cutting that out.
He was a vapor.
A picture of him actually went around from a report that Blake Olson did. Like 20 years ago.
No, I saw that. Yeah. Was
from
that
a picture
Blake's?
Of McDaniel.
That was Blake?
That was Blake's report? Oh, we got to get Blake on and talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Blake yesterday. He was out at UNC football practice.
Yeah, because McDaniel was from Greeley, and he used to go to Broncos practices over at UNC.
There's no way. I got to ask Blake this. If you're looking at that guy interviewing, thinking, this guy is going to be a coach
someday. Straight out of, like, you know, My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. It was just a, you know,
do you think
groupie.
The jiu-jitsu is actually going to help? Do you think you're
going to
Yeah,
I mean, from what he's talked about, it's strengthening your body, your core, your
I'm
neck.
Asking you, do you think you're going to have a better quarterback
That's
next year?
That's an unfair question to Angel because he thinks karate can solve everything.
Well, he explained that he would simulate, you know, the...
I know what his thought process is.
He would simulate the concussions that he undergoes. So he's like, okay, well, how does this translate from practicing to when I'm on the field? And it's repetition. It's getting your body to do that as a second nature. It's
as a
dispersing
Dolphins
your
fan.
Energy to fall.
As a Dolphins fan, do you think you will have a better quarterback next year because of jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
You do?
I think he will be smarter about taking care of his body.
If Josh Allen was doing jiu-jitsu, would you be making fun of him?
No.
Yes, you
I'd be terrified.
You're such a liar.
Oh, some 6 foot two guys running down the field like Josh Allen. He's going to judo jiu-jitsu. Chop you. Like, it's not a stiff arm. He's just going to chop you down.
I will be curious to see if Tua pulls that out. Like, some guys try to sack him, and then he just, like, you know,
Kung Fu Panda
throat punches him.
Yeah.
Or Kung Fu Panda was more of just use his weight and stuff. Yeah.
The Rockies need to start doing.
Just tear it all down.
It has to happen.
Just tear it all. I don't know if you heard my first take on this, but with the Nuggets and that 2 year stint with Brian Shaw, it's like they knew what they were.
Yeah.
They didn't tell anybody though. They said outwardly we're still going to go to the we want to go to the playoffs. Brian Shaw's going to get us there. We believe. Blah 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 blah. But they didn't do anything. They left it up to Danilo Gallinari and Wilson Chandler, and those guys aren't
right.
They weren't world beaters.
To be fair, though, if the Nuggets don't get lucky with Nikola Jokic that late in the draft, completely different story.
Well, you could say that about anybody, though, right?
No, because you know, like that was a second round pick. That was a
if
late
the Patriots
second round
don't
pick.
Don't get lucky in the sixth
for
round,
sure.
If,
for
you
sure.
Know, if...
But like when you look at Jacksonville, right? Like they were tanking, but it was tanking for Trevor. Right, they wanted Trevor Lawrence. That was going to turn the program around. Now you get lucky every once in a while, and you get those generational talents. But you can't bank on that.
Do you think that the Nuggets would still be a playoff team if it was Jamal Murray and Yusuf Nurkic?
No, I don't. I don't think Jamal Murray can be a number one on any team.
Close.
I don't think he can be a number one. Well, you've got Yusuf Nurkic and Damian Lillard, and they're not a playoff team. And Lillard's a way better player.
Everything around them is bad. And once Nurk broke his leg two years ago, he hasn't been the same.
The Rockies historically have been absolutely horrible at developing and drafting players. Just been abysmal at it. But that's starting to turn.
It feels like maybe it is.
Zach Veen is a guy that we haven't seen yet.
Avril Lavigne. In relation to...
No. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Probably.
He's going to be a speed threat. He's going to be... Which I think the Rockies absolutely need to utilize because this is one of the slowest teams in the league. So those doubles that you're hitting out there in Coors Field, which is a huge park, turn into triples. You got to go away from just trying to overpay mediocre players. Ryan McMahon... And I'm getting frustrated now with the media bias because you know I love the Rockies, but I think that I'm pretty fair to him at most points. This team is just abysmal. I was listening to the broadcast last night, the TV broadcast, and they're talking about how Ryan McMahon just a couple years ago was a gold glover at third and this and that. Completely skip over the fact that he led the league in errors at third base last year.
He just watched three slow strikes run. Like, he didn't take a shot.
Well, I don't understand it. CJ Cron needs... I don't know if he needs benched for a while. I don't know what he needs.
He did get a...
He was 1-for-5 with a single.
Okay.
1-for-5 with a single last night. That dude strikes out and grounds into more double plays than I've ever seen in my entire life. So these guys that you thought were going to be the centerpieces, and what did we talk about? You know, the eternal optimist in me talking about the Rockies, okay, we need Cron, Bryant, and Charlie to do their things. Bryant and Blackman are doing their things. Cron has been abysmal. McMahon's been abysmal. But the young guys, for the most part, are doing their thing. Tovar's been very solid defensively. He's got to get that bat going. Elias Diaz, I don't know if there's a hotter hitter in the world right now than Elias Diaz. And there's just not that consistency from those guys that you thought you were going to get consistency from. We knew the pitching was going to be horrible. They've got two, maybe, depending on the week, with Ehrman and Kyle, with Freeland and Marquez. Those are the two. The bullpen has been better than we expected.
which is saying something. They're still not great, but they've been better than we've expected. I just saw today Daniel Bard's back from the 15-day IL, so he should be making his way back into the rotation.
Help is on the way.
Strip it down.
Dixon says, Crohn's our all-star, baby. Watch your mouth.
Oh, God.
John Blackwell was an all-star at one point.
It's a dumb thing to have an all-star from every team.
Daniel Bard was our all-star last year. How he wasn't an all-star just blows my mind.
And Crohn was, though, right?
Right.
But that's... You shouldn't have an all-star from every team.
No.
This isn't... Baseball, above all leagues, should not be Orange Slice League.
Yeah, they are.
But it's
are.
Everybody gets an all-star.
But Zach Veen should be starting in center field. Jonathan Dons would give up on that experiment.
Could they trade Chris Bryant? Nobody's going to agree with me on this, and
not
I get that.
No, not
but
yet.
You can't tear down the studs if you're still paying a stud.
Right, but we had this conversation on Good Morning NoCo this morning. Do you trust the organization to trade him? Because the last time you traded away your best player, you had to ship $50 million with him to St. Louis. So do you even trust him to do that? The front office, I get it. Bill Schmidt seems like just a nice guy. He's not good at his job. This whole thing needs a teardown. And I'll tell you what, Brady, the announced attendance was just over 19,000.
Is that because of the Avs last night, though?
No.
No?
Maybe. I don't know.
The Avs would have run into that because they were in the, I think, the eighth inning when the game...
What's the crossover between hockey and baseball fans?
I don't know either.
But they're going to start hitting the Montforts where it hurts, and they're going to have to sell us these prospects. They've got Peter Lambert, who can still possibly be a good pitcher. Noah Davis... Noah Davis had a great outing on Sunday.
So
strip it down and go with these guys.
Even though I made fun, I mainly made fun of it because you two leaned in on it so much on Noah Samsonite or whatever.
Noah
his name
Davis,
is.
Five innings, three hits, no runs given up.
Again, I just don't get excited when I hear a random name. I'm like Eddie Butler. When I heard that name, someone's like, "You got to watch out for Eddie Butler," and I'm like, "Okay." And then a year later,
I still don't know who Eddie Butler
is. He was the Noah Sampson before he was the Noah Sampson.
You're messing that name up in my head, and you need to stop because now I'm even starting.
Him all the time now. I'm like, Noah Sampsonite. My point is, I don't get excited about prospects because I've seen it a lot, but they do have. Sometimes guys pop up and you go, where'd they come from? But yes, theoretically, your Noah Swanson should be the guy. You should be building around that guy and even Freeland, who's still kind of young. But
I think you had a texter the other day that said the Rockies have like the number 15 payroll in the league. When you're this bad, you shouldn't have the number 15 payroll in the league. You should be 25th.
Which shows you, okay, they're willing to pay people, but you're not putting the money in the right. Chris Bryant, the money should be in your pitchers and your bullpen. That's where the money should be.
I disagree with you on that. Just because you play 81 of your games at Coors Field, win the slugouts.
It hasn't
worked.
But
because they've been investing in the mediocre. They invest in the mediocre players. Like, Ryan McMahon does not deserve that contract that Ryan McMahon has. You can say anything you want about Montford. He takes care of his guys. Charlie Blackman's on a contract that's too big for him right now. Ryan McMahon's on a contract that's too big. Airman Marquez, who we just extended, and Kyle Freeland, who we just extended, are on contracts that are too big for them.
You just told me Freeland was a dog the other
He's
day.
He's got that dog
Dogs
in him.
Dogs deserve big contracts.
No, not Freeland.
They got to eat.
You got to get mediocre pitchers in here, bolster the bullpen with the closer. You know, Daniel Bard should have been shipped at
the
deadline.
They already have mediocre pitchers, and they get
blown
away.
They're paying too much for those mediocre players. Take that money out of the pitching staff, reinvest into sluggers, and go.
The problem is you'll see like mediocre pitchers go somewhere else, and they're pretty good. So it's like, you got to pay
good, though.
Jordan Lyles was better when he left the Rockies.
Yeah. I mean, out of the bullpen, I agree with you, because you look at what Adam Ottavino's went and done. You look at what even Yency Almonte's done with the Dodgers. And on that side, I can see that point. But this team, you just got to try and win these slugs. And this opens up a whole new conversation about the Coors hangover, right? Why is this team so bad? Because they were good at home last year. They were not average. They were good at home last year. Why are they so abysmal on the road?
Because they're a bad team.
Why can't – I don't think that's it. I think there's something to the Coors hangover. It's statistically,
you know what my answer to that is.
The team out of Colorado.
Then you're gonna move. If that's the real thing, then Dick Monfort's right. Beep boop. He's typing to his little buddy when he's late at night. Maybe Colorado doesn't deserve a baseball team. Because if that's the reason,
that's a conversation
you can't
that
pitch
has to
here,
happen.
There's a hangover here. The hitting's crazy here. The stats don't matter to people. That's why your boy Todd Helton's not in. No, because that's why he's not in. Because yeah, the right. Hall of Fame voters are taking that and saying, "Yeah, but he did all those hit. He hit the ball like crazy, but a lot of his career, half of his career, was in Colorado."
I agree. There's a legitimate conversation that needs
so
to happen about moving the Rockies
stuff,
out
then
of
we
Colorado.
Move him out. Would you still be a fan?
No, I'm about ready to be done with him now.
That's what we got.
That sound bad.
Who do we got, Angel, to root for?
The Owls.
Yeah, baby.
Hoot hoot.
The Frank Gonzalez Show, Tuesdays on Coach Speak. I'm looking forward to that. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This Preps baseball season, you pick the game. Hear high school baseball every week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Tanner Schwentz hanging out with us. We're only on for another 30 minutes, so, you know, I figured Tanner can get all of his frustration. No, you don't need to get your frustration out anymore because you have two teams, and I don't care that the Avs lost last night. You have two teams that are questing for a title right now.
They are.
So just try to put the bad... Don't let the Rockies... The bad man can't hurt you anymore.
No, they can.
Mommy and Daddy are here.
No, they
continue. That's the Avs and the Nuggets. The Mommy and Daddy.
They continue to hurt me.
Just like, is that me and you? The Nuggets would be Mommy at this point. The Avs would be Daddy. Didn't think that was a comparison I was going to make this morning, but here we are. The Rockies are the little adolescent child that just can't figure it out.
So when the Avs start, did you turn the Rockies off?
Yeah, I got the hell out of there because I felt guilty. I'm like, if anybody caught me watching the Rockies right now.
I said it on air.
Over the Avs.
I watched it over the Avs. I was flipping back and forth.
Do you feel a little ashamed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should.
Also, the Avs, that was a pretty pathetic performance.
It was. It was a pathetic performance. I don't want to say pathetic.
It was pathetic.
Dude, Seattle's riding heights. Their very first playoff game ever.
You can't get bullied by that team. And they got bullied by that team. I'm a little worried about the Avs.
I don't think they got bullied.
They got,
now, if they would have outshot around. The... They didn't even outshoot the Avs. The Avs had more shots on goal. They just couldn't make them.
That's
I thought they
part
were in the third period. I thought the Avs had controlled the puck a lot more.
This Avs team is not the team that it was last year that could get away with having a mediocre.
Is Nazem Kadri not being there?
Kadri was that heart. You know,
we also had
arguments about dogs, right? Like who's got that dog in him? Kadri had that dog in him. Who's got the dog in him for the Avs right now?
Nathan McKinnon.
Does he?
Miko
Rantanen. Because listening to Kyle Fredrickson yesterday, I thought it was as soon as he said it, I was like, oh boy, he's like. I don't see the desperation of this team. This needs to be a desperate team.
Well, how much does not having Gabriel Landeskog? How much does that hurt? How much does it hurt not putting a C on somebody? Is that a meaningful thing in hockey where it does change things? We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.